Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
I think it is unconscionable that they would want to build a mosque here because you're building a shrine to the very ideology that inspired those jihadist attacks.
Why does Comedy Central give such deference to Islam while mocking Christianity? Is it because they confuse the civility of Christianity with weakness?
Go read one of the presidential proclamations about the National Day of Prayer and Kwanzaa and Ramadan, and all of a sudden, Constantine doesn't look like this dead figure of history. He's living and breathing on Pennsylvania Avenue.
My name is Mike. I'm a fan of Law and Order. I'm a believer in Law and Gospel, and I love Issues Etc.
I was frankly surprised when I heard the news. What was it, last week? Former Vice President Al Gore and his wife Tipper, married for 40 years. That's a long time to be married, separating. I was surprised. I know that our celebrated people hook up and break up and all those kinds of things. But I was surprised to hear that they were separating, amicably separating. Will it lead to a divorce? I don't know. I haven't followed the news that closely. What has surprised me even more is the reaction in the media on both sides, left and right, that think this is a good thing. Some schadenfreude, wicked glee over the separation of these two, and others saying, look, divorce is as good as marriage. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, the 10th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to start out talking with Colleen Carroll Campbell about media reaction on the left and the right to the separation of Al and Tipper Gore. And in about 15 minutes, we'll talk with Kim Riddlebarger of the White Horse Inn about conflict in the Middle East and Ezekiel chapter 39. Some are saying that Ezekiel chapter 39 is being fulfilled in the headlines as we speak. We'll see what Kim has to say about that. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us at @issuesetc. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a regular guest. She's host of a television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
First of all, before we get to the general media reaction, should confessional Christians be mocking the separation of Al and Tipper Gore?
Well, no, I don't think we should, whether we agree with Al Gore's politics or not. And I would say there's a lot to disagree with. We certainly don't ever want to celebrate the end of a marriage, a 40-year marriage at that. And remember, there are four children involved here and three grandchildren who didn't ask for a specific brand of politics to be foisted upon them. They're simply kids watching their parents and grandparents separate, and that's a sad thing. And we've seen a lot of mockery, unfortunately, including from the right, and folks the likes of Rush Limbaugh, who's on his own fourth marriage and probably is not really in a position to to judge on this one. So, you know, we should always remind ourselves that the breakup of any marriage is a sad thing. And there, but for the grace of God, go we.
A bit unexpected, or perhaps not, what has been some of the reactions from liberal social pundits about the separation of these two famous people?
Well, the reaction on the left has also been somewhat gleeful for a different reason, and I think in some ways a much more disturbing reason. Many on the left are coming out saying that we should celebrate the end of this marriage as proof that Al and Tipper Gore have the courage to move on from something that has grown stale and to find themselves and embark on a new phase of their lives. And we've seen this all over the elite media, ABC News, New York Times, CNN, Washington Post. There have been, and I'm not speaking simply of political pundits and social commentators, but even some marriage therapists and scholars of marriage and family. Sally Quinn, a Washington Post columnist, said we should not only respect this decision to divorce, but we should rejoice in it, because lifelong marriage vows these days are simply unrealistic with our longer lifespans. Stephanie Kuntz, who's an academic favorite quoted by the liberal media, mainstream media, is very much in taking this line. She told ABC News that it's a success that they have the option to move on and not be stuck. Rather than regarding a divorce as a failure, we need to see it as a success. And a Wharton School economist, Betsy Stevenson, has taken a similar line. She told the New York Times that we should be celebrating this because it reveals how much optimism the Gores have for the rest of their lives. This is just a sampling. There have actually been quite a few commentaries along these lines. So this seems to be the standard narrative now about not only the Gore divorce, but the general phenomenon of silver divorce, which is what they're calling this slight uptick among baby boomers in late-in-life divorces.
So what's fundamentally wrong about those kind of reactions?
Well, we're basically acting, when we call this something to celebrate, we're acting as if breaking a promise and keeping a promise are equally honorable acts, when, of course, they're not. The end of marriage is always a tragic thing. Certainly in a case like abuse, it's sometimes unavoidable. But in the case of two older adults who, by all accounts, have amicably split and simply grew apart, it's a sad thing. It's something that I would think could be prevented by working through marital troubles. I don't know what it's like on the inside of their marriage. We don't need to judge their motives, but we can judge the end of a marriage as a failure because that's what it is. As to where the blame is assigned, that's beyond our realm of what we should be judging. But to say that divorce is a good thing, something to celebrate, that it's just as good as staying married, really denigrates the idea of marriage altogether. And I think it breeds the kind of cynicism we see among many young Americans who say, if marriage vows don't count for anything, why should I bother getting married in the first place?
Well, then let's talk about the impact, stepping aside from Alan Tipper Gore and their specific circumstance, no one is going to argue that there isn't an epidemic. They may not call it an epidemic, but an epidemic of divorce, especially in the last 40 years in the United States. It is now a fully fledged and probably multi-billion-dollar segment of the lawyers' industry. Why is divorce bad for our culture, bad for our society?
Well, there are a lot of reasons. I think the main one that we always are trying to run away from and can't is the impact that it has on the children involved. In the vast majority of these cases, there are children involved. And I think there's this misunderstanding that after kids reach a certain age, divorce doesn't impact them. But ask any adult child who watched his or her parents divorce later in life, and they'll tell you it was devastating, even if they were out of grade school, out of high school, even out of college. It fundamentally alters the way a young person looks at marriage, looks at their parents, and looks at the whole life that their childhood was based on. And it really shakes them up, and we see much higher rates of divorce among children whose parents divorced. And unfortunately, that does extend into these late-in-life divorces where the children are already grown. So that's one tangible effect. The other is simply that marriage has become one of the few contracts in our society, perhaps the only one that can be unilaterally broken with virtually no consequences, and nowadays not even really any social stigma. It's simply not worth the paper it's written on, a marriage license in a culture of no-fault divorce. That's a problem. And we know, of course, that family breakdown, it all begins with the breakdown of marriages. And as you said, the divorce rate has really shot through the roof. In our culture, the divorce rate today is 40% for first-time marriages. So we're not counting the people who get married over and over again, but simply for first-time marriages, 40%. It was 16% in 1960. So this has been a real explosion. And unfortunately, instead of saying, we've got a problem here we need to do something about, I think many commentators are throwing up their hands and saying, well, it just goes to show you can't really stay married. It's impossible. But we know it's not impossible. It's just hard work. And it takes a culture to support that, not only a church and a family and an immediate community, but also a larger culture to say, yes, marriage is a good thing, and preserving marriage rather than walking out on a marriage is a good thing.
Two quick final questions, Colleen. You mentioned the church. Has the church, generally speaking, dropped the ball on this one?
I think so. I think there's a tendency, of course, to be terrified of seeming judgmental to other people. We know that people who go through divorces typically are not happy about it, and they're experiencing a lot of pain. They do need the support of the church. But I think in our efforts to reach out to them, we've been afraid to speak the truth about what the marriage bond really is in the eyes of God and in the eyes of the church. And it is meant to last for life. It's a permanent public commitment. And when we fall short of that, we don't need to tell people that their lives are hopeless and that they're, to banish them in any way. But we also are doing them and everyone else a disservice when we act as if divorce is no big deal. It's not a failure. It's not a problem. It is a failure. It deeply hurts children. It erodes the fabric of our society. And as unpopular as it is to say those things, we have to be willing to give that countercultural witness not only to the problem of divorce, but to the beauty of married life, especially married life in its ups and downs and when it's not always easy. That's precisely what allows marriage to be a real vehicle to growing closer to God and to each other.
Well, when we come back, a few more minutes with Colleen Carol Campbell, I'm curious to hear about the latest research. She's written about it recently. The latest research on happiness in marriage. It is counterintuitive. It is probably something you haven't heard about. It's not being touted very much in the media. We're talking about media reaction, both on the left and the right, to the separation of Al and Tipper Gore. Colleen Carol Campbell is our guest, host of a television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. After a few more minutes with Colleen Carol Campbell, some are saying that in the headlines you can see biblical prophecy, in particular Ezekiel chapter 39, being fulfilled. They say Gog and Magog are making their way in invasion of Israel, and the big conflict is coming, and you can read all about it in the newspapers, the fulfillment of Ezekiel 39. We will see what Dr. Kim Riddlebarger of the White Horse Inn has to say about that. He's also author of the book A Case for Amillennialism. A few more minutes with Colleen Carol Campbell right after this. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup hole if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com. You are...
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Colleen Carroll Campbell is our guest for a few more minutes. We're talking about the media reaction on the left and the right to the separation of Al and Tipper Gore. In just a few minutes, we'll talk about, well, they're saying that you can read the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, in particular Ezekiel chapter 39, in the headlines today with the military incursions near Israel. Is this true? Kim Riddlebarger will join us. Colleen, one more question for you. Tell us about the latest research. With all the talk about unhappiness in marriage and divorce and separation, tell us about the latest research on happiness in marriage.
Yeah, these are the studies we don't hear enough about. In 2002, Linda Waite, who's a University of Chicago sociologist, led a study that found basically that unhappily married adults who divorced tended to be no happier than those who stayed put in their marriages. And in fact, two-thirds of those who said they were unhappily married but then persevered through bleak times 5 years later said that their marriages were happy. And in fact, the greatest dramatic turnaround in terms of marital happiness happened among those who described their marriages as very unhappy. 8 in 10 of those people who decided to stick it out reported that they were happily married 5 years later. So marital happiness is a variable thing. It's not cut and dry. You're either in a terrible marriage or a perfect marriage. You're most likely in a marriage that's going to wax and wane in terms of happiness, and if you stick it out, at least according to this study, you're more likely to be happy than if you walk out. And then a more recent study that came out last year was at New Zealand's clinical psychologist Kate Scott, but she actually surveyed data from 15 different countries, mental health surveys, found that there are substantial mental health benefits to staying married. Ending marriage increases the risk of substance abuse for women and depression for men, but being married and staying married actually reduces risks of depression and anxiety for both men and women. And the reason that's significant is we often hear that marriage is good for men but not women, and that is not what Kate Scott found. So these are the kinds of studies we need to be publicizing and celebrating rather than celebrating the divorce of a prominent couple.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and you can read them by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks for having me, Todd.